I flew through the crisp night air, high above the clouds, above civilization, above it all. Sleek black wings beat against the current, propelling me forward. One of my favorite things about being an Igmaruthan was the ability to shapeshift into whatever and whoever I wanted. Caden had told me the ability came from the Ancient Ones, who could bend their bodies into any form they desired. Some could change into terrifying, magnificent creatures so massive that they blocked out the sun. They didn't have the prestigious royal blood, but they were gods in their own right. They were feared and respected. Well, they were until the Gods War had wiped them out. Stars danced above me and in every direction. I beat my wings harder, rising toward them. Surrounded by such beauty, I wondered what would happen if I just kept going. I felt true freedom at that moment, and I reveled in it, never wanting it to end. The shape I'd taken was one Caden had shown me centuries ago, and one of my personal favorites. Mortals would recognize the beast as a wyvern. They were similar to the mythical dragon, but I was bipedal in this shape, unlike those four-legged, fire-breathing beasts. My hands and arms were stretched, forming the massive wings. Horns and scales swept over the crown of my head, ending in fine, sharp points. My skin was thicker in this form and covered by armored, scaled plates. A long, razor-tipped tail swung behind me as I dove and danced between the clouds. The stars were my only company, and I savored the solitude. I closed my eyes and spread my wings as far as possible, riding on the wind. The plus side to Caden's mortal connections was that they wouldn't shoot down a flying, fire-breathing beast. So, for the moment, I was at peace. I was not Diana, the fire-wielding Death Queen, or Diana, the loving and thoughtful sister. I just was.
Bring me the head of the brother.
Reality intruded as Caden's voice echoed through my subconscious, the memory of the night before playing like a movie behind my closed eyelids. Caden stood from the bed and grabbed his clothes, dressing quickly. He'd never stayed, never held me, not once. He paused at the door, his hand on the handle, and turned to look at me.
And Diana, make it messy. I want to send a message.
As you wish. I covered my face with my hands and sat there for a few minutes longer. He hadn't just asked me to bring him a prince's head. No. He was asking me to kill a friend. Drake was one of the very few beings I trusted completely, and I knew without a doubt that I had no choice. My eyes snapped open, and I concentrated on propelling my streamlined body faster through the night sky. With each powerful beat of my wings, I shoved aside my feelings, locking them away once more. I smelled the seawater from the Namir Sea before I saw it. Music and the sounds of a vibrant city soon filled my ears, telling me I was close. Tirin was a beautiful city in the heart of Sorol and currently owned by the Vampire King. Actually, the entire continent of Sorol was owned by Ethan Vanderkai, Vampire King, and the sixth son of the royal bloodline. Every vampire that spawned from the eastern to the western hemisphere was under his rule, but he wasn't the one I was looking for tonight. No, I was here for his brother, the Prince of Night, Drake Vanderkai. Caden had introduced me to many beings through the centuries, and there were very few I would call friends. But Drake was different. I did consider us friends. His family had worked closely with Caden for years. They had their hands in almost everything, so they often knew how to obtain the artifacts and items Caden sought. That was the main reason Caden was so angry. He wanted that book. And he knew they would be a great source of help in finding it. But then they had stopped showing up to the meetings. At first, Ethan had sent Drake in his place. I hadn't minded. It was nice to have someone to talk to, laugh with, and not be on guard with all the fucking time. But then Drake had stopped coming. And this last time was enough for Caden. He wanted blood. And what Caden wanted, I provided. I knew it was another test of my resolve. When I had hesitated in front of Caden, his paranoid brain assumed I was slipping. I had to show him I wasn't, regardless of my friendship with Drake. I couldn't risk my reputation and position. If either were called into question, I risked her. That was unacceptable. So I would prove my loyalty, starting with Drake. I dove beneath the clouds, focusing on the valley below. Multicolored lights were scattered over the land, mirroring the stars above. People were out enjoying the night, and the sounds of voices, car horns honking, and music floated to me on the balmy air. Bright white beams of lights were beacons, calling all who were willing to the inner city. There was a party tonight, like all nights, and I was headed into the heart of it. The ocean danced off to my left, gentle waves lapping at the shore as I soared above the mountains. I glided around a neighboring cliff before pulling my wings back slowly, beating them against the air to slow my descent. The music drowned out any noise they made, and the mortals were too drunk and preoccupied to notice me. Black smoke curled around me as I shifted shape in midair and dropped to the street. I landed in a crouch, several people jumping out of the way.
What the hell? Watch it! Spilled my damn drink.
She just dropped out of nowhere.
And shouted at me to watch where I was going. I ignored them and adjusted my thick twin braids so they hung over my shoulders. Lights varied from silver to red to gold as I reached the inner city of Tirin, known as Logos. It was a popular neighborhood, renowned for its beauty and historical monuments, but most notorious for its nightlife. Everything you could want or need was available in Logos, with numerous bars, pubs, and upscale lounges. Tourists and locals flocked to it, seeking to unwind and let loose, unaware of what awoke as the moon crested in the sky. I moved through the crowd easily, looking like just another mortal out for the night in my black tank top, leather pants, and heels. It only took me a few minutes to reach my destination. The club was in the heart of Logos, and a long line of people waited to pass through the massive entrance. The red neon sign above the door cast a crimson glow over everything. This was one of Drake's favorite places. Something he owned that wasn't his brother's. The mortals cursed and yelled as I pushed past them to reach the front of the club. Twin bouncers folded their arms and shifted to form a wall before me. They were the overly muscled, idealistic types made to intimidate people, usually the drunk and stupid, and keep them from trying to enter. One had a shaved head with tattoos decorating the back of his neck, and the other sported a long, dreadlocked ponytail. Their eyes glowed gold as they recognized me, but I didn't give them a chance to move.
Sorry about this, but he should have shown.
I slammed my hands against their chests, forcing them back. Fire erupted where my palms had connected, their bodies ash before they hit the floor. The doors burst open, splintering into a thousand tiny pieces as I entered. The crowd inside didn't even notice, continuing to dance and gyrate against each other. The inside of the club was larger than what it seemed from the outside. Yellow, blue, pink, and red lights danced off the walls. The dance floor separated the DJ booth from the large circular bar that took up the middle of the room. People shouted at the bartenders, trying to be heard over the music. I'd taken a step toward the soft red glow at the back of the club when a hard object smacked into the back of my head. I flinched, but my body didn't move. Another perk of being an Igmaruthan was that our bones were thicker, meaning we were harder to knock unconscious. I turned to see another vampire holding a gun with a look of complete shock on his face. I whipped my arm out, tearing a hole through him and incinerating the remains. That got everyone's attention. The eyes of the vampires in the crowd fluoresced yellow, their fangs extending as they turned toward me. It was going to be a long night. My blood-soaked shoes squeaked as I walked up the stairs. I was covered in ash, blood, and probably more than one being's visceral organs. I stopped short at the top of the stairs, scanning the large lounge. There were multiple black sofas against the back wall, with matching chairs and small tables placed around the area. The room was dim, with red uplights in the corners. There was a smaller bar up here, but it only served the type of drinks the otherworld creatures craved. It was empty, except for the one person I was here for. Vampire royalty always made my skin crawl. Their power dated so far back that my senses weren't sure what to make of it. Only four vampire families had enough power to inherit the throne, and one had turned to dust before I was created.
The remaining three hated each other and had fought savagely for a chance to rule. The Vanderkais won and had been in power for a while now. Their victory had been due in large part to Kaidan, but that didn't mean they were his lackeys. The older they got, the more powerful they became, and power was all I felt from the back area of the lounge. I strode toward the source, stopping to lean against the end of the crescent bar as our gazes met. His golden eyes bored into mine, but neither of us spoke. I swiped my arm across my forehead, but only managed to smear more gore across my face. He took a deep pull on his cigar, the red ember at the tip flaring. He was lounging on one of the large sofas with one arm draped across the back. He looked as if he didn't have a care in the world and wasn't bothered by the carnage I'd inflicted downstairs. Another pull on the cigar lit up the side of his face. The glow highlighting the dark curls clipped close to his scalp. Drake was a gorgeous predator, and the rich brown of his skin gleamed, enticing the unwary to touch him. It was another perk of vampirism. Everything about them was designed to attract their prey.
You look rough.
Why didn't you show? And don't give me some bullshit excuse about problems or enemies you have to deal with. Drake didn't say anything, which only pissed me off more. He tapped the cigar out against the silver tray on the table next to him. Kaidan is trying to open the realms, Drake. It means freedom for us, for our kind. No more worrying about the Celestials or the Hand. Why are you and Ethan suddenly so against that? His eyes roamed mine for a second, searching for some sign that I was joking, but only pain edged my voice.
He has a point. I would like to not be hunted, my family or me. But his beliefs are clouded.
He stood, unbuttoning his jacket and carefully taking it off.
Ethan won't follow, nor will I. He's a tyrant, Diana. No matter what pretty picture he paints.
You know you can't talk like that. You know what that means.
I know.
He lifted his hand, brushing the loose hairs that had escaped my braids away from my face.
And will you, his pretty weapon, be the one to execute me? My brother? Our family too?
The part of me that was still good screamed at me to stop as I grabbed him by the throat. But I had no choice. He didn't struggle as I lifted him and tossed him through the back wall. You know what happens now! You knew when you repeatedly sent others to the meeting what Kaidan would do and how he would react! He was never going to tolerate your disobedience, Drake! Twin blades flew from the large hole made by his body and headed straight for me. I slapped one out of the air, and the other whizzed by my head. But they weren't meant to kill, only to distract. He tackled me to the floor.
When he comes back, you need to make sure you're on the right side. Do you think this book Kaidan wants isn't going to start another massive war?
He pinned me to the floor. He held my arms crossed against my chest with one knee on my stomach.
Oh, you can't be serious. You too? He is nothing more than a legend, yet you condemned your whole family for it? They are stories, Drake. Stories to keep us in line. They all died. The old gods are dead. The gods war, remember? All that's left are the Celestials and the Hand. That's it.
Gods, he has you so fucking whipped!
I faked a slight spell of unconsciousness. And as I felt him relax, I slammed my knee into his groin. He lurched forward and I freed my arms, tossing him off of me. I rolled to my feet, but he had recovered by the time I was up. He was standing with his fists in the air and a shit-eating grin on his face. My chest tightened. Drake was the one who had made me smile when I first turned and was dealing with the fact that I no longer had my freedom or mortality. He wasn't just my friend, he was Gabby's too. He was always there when I needed him, and now I had to kill him because he and Ethan had decided to switch sides. I had no choice, and that only pissed me off more. I raised my hands to match his, clenching them into fists, before dropping them. I don't want to do this. He dropped his fists, his expression softening.
Then don't. You are one of my best friends, Diana. I don't want to fight you. You're just as strong as him, if not more so. Stay with me. With us. We can help and protect each other.
I smiled softly, knowing he meant every word he said. Then I was in front of him. His eyes went wide as his mouth gaped open once, then twice. He looked down at my fist lodged in his chest. My hand curled around his heart and I felt it beat. His life was in my palm. I said I didn't want to. Not that I wouldn't. He smiled at me as his hands touched my wrist.
Better to die by what you think is right than to live under a lie.
I held his gaze as I willed the flames from my hand. His body lit up from the inside, but his smile didn't waver. It was the same smile that had comforted me when the nightmares got too bad. The same smile that curved his lips when he told me jokes, making me laugh even when I felt like dying. I watched with contained horror as the same smile that could light up a room disappeared forever. I stood there for I don't know how long, my hand still outstretched and full of what remained of my friend's heart. I felt the vibration against my hip and shook myself from my daze. I wiped my hands on my jeans and pulled the phone from my pocket.
You can go see your sister now.
I scanned the ruin of the room, my gaze catching on the camera mounted high on the wall. Caden had seen everything. I nodded once toward it and hung up the phone before disappearing from the wreckage. I formed in the middle of Gabby's apartment. The black smoke that came with the teleport dissipated as I dropped my bags on the floor with a loud thump. It was 8 in the morning in this part of the world. I had checked before I left just to make sure she would be home.
Gabby, your favorite and only sister is here.
Usually, my random show-ups resulted in squealing and hugging, but this time, only silence greeted me. I looked around, noticing the new white sectional and the glass table cluttered with magazines. Several artistic pictures decorated the white walls. Gabby had revamped her style, but that wasn't unusual. She enjoyed decorating. The flowers on her kitchen island caught my attention, and my eyes narrowed as I strode toward the dozen assorted lilies. They were Gabby's favorite, and I didn't need to read the card to know who had given them to her. A slow smile curved my lips as I turned and headed toward her room. I opened the door and flipped on the lights, taking in the clothes scattered across the floor. A pair of men's pants were thrown over the chair, and a pair of my heels lay on the fake fur rug against her bed.
Well, well, well! This explains why you didn't answer my text messages!
That got her attention. Gabby jolted upright, grabbing the sheet to her chest as her lover turned to stare blearily at me over his shoulder. The toppled, shaggy hair confirmed the identity of the man sharing my sister's bed.
No way! You finally gave Big Dick Rick a chance?
Diana!
Gabby grabbed a pillow and threw it at me.
Get out of here!
Plaques. There were so many plaques. I stood in the living room, staring at the degrees Gabby had earned from the University of Vale. She had a life now, and I couldn't be happier. She had graduated with the highest degree she could get in healthcare. Gabby had always loved helping people, just like our mother. She was the light and hope in the family, whereas I was the darkness and destruction. The door to Gabby's room opened, and she stepped out, followed closely by Rick. Seeing her happy made everything I'd suffered and endured worth it. Rick whispered to her as they came down the hallway. And she sent him a flirtatious wink over her shoulder. Gabby wore a blue robe belted tightly around her small frame, her hair still a slightly tangled mess.
Nice to see you again, Diana.
Rick Everdeen. The resident doctor had been after my sister since she moved to Sunnyvale a few years ago. I had met him a handful of times when I visited Gabby at work. My visits had become few and far between, and my heart ached at that fact. How much of her life had I missed this time?
Rick, how long has it been? You look well?
I let the last part linger, my gaze not leaving his. His scent changed, and I knew he feared me. His primitive mortal instincts were alerting him to danger, although he didn't know why.
A few months at least.
Gabby shook her head at the exchange, familiar with my overbearing ways by now. She gently grabbed his arm and ushered him to the door.
You're going to be late for work.
I watched them smile at each other as if nothing else mattered. His expression was lit with love and joy as he stepped out.
I'll call you later.
A dull ache formed in my chest, and I looked away as my throat tightened. I longed to have even the simplest form of that, but I'd given up any chance of normalcy eons ago. I had given it up when I traded a life for a life. Gabby's happy squeal pulled me from those dark memories. She ran to me and practically tackled me in a hug.
Oh my God, Dee. I missed you so much.
I missed you too. I returned her hug tightly. It was nice being embraced and not worrying about my heart getting ripped out. She pulled back, her eyes shining as she smiled.
How long can you stay this time?
It was the unspoken truth of my visits. I stayed as long as Caden allowed. I'm not sure, but let's make the best of it.
Sounds good. So, how about breakfast?
I nodded and gave her a bright smile. Gabby turned and walked into the kitchen. I followed and jumped up on the nearest bar stool at the Long Island. She reached into the fridge, pulling out an assortment of items before turning toward the coffee pot. I placed my hand under my chin as she stood on her tiptoes to take down two mugs.
I like the white and brown theme you have for the place. The kitchen looks amazing.
Thanks. It's actually new. Rick liked the marble finish, even though I told him I didn't need an upgrade.
My eyebrow ticked upward as I leaned across the counter, baiting her.
Oh, so now he buys you things for your apartment?
Well, he has been staying here lately.
What? You didn't tell me?
You're not the easiest person to reach.
A pang tightened my chest, stealing the excitement from me. I sank back into my chair and fumbled with my fingers. Gabby looked at me, catching the sudden shift in my mood.
It hasn't been a long time. Rick and me, we had a few dates, and then he slowly just started staying over.
I forced a smile, meeting her gaze as she prepared breakfast.
I am happy for you. It's just the last time we talked, you guys were still playing the whole we don't like each other game.
Dee, it's been months since you visited. Things change.
Those months that Caden had me and the others searching for that book he was obsessed with. It had been months since I had been allowed to spend time with the only person in the world who loved me. Months. The word hung in the air a moment longer before I shook my head.
Well, it's good to know that he's not just sending flowers to get in your pants.
Gabby just gave me a small smile and shook her head. She knew me too well. She knew I used jokes and humor when my feelings got too real.
You know, Dee, men sometimes do nice things just because they like you. It doesn't have to be about sex.
She turned and held the spatula to her chest and mockingly placed the back of her free hand to her forehead.
Even flowers?
I wouldn't know. The words left my lips before I realized what I was saying. I hated when Gabby worried about me, and I knew that comment alone would piss her off. Her shoulders sagged. She didn't say anything, but I felt her anger. Gabby.
I hate him.
I stood and went to the fridge, pulling out the bacon.
I know, but you don't have to like him. Regardless, he is the reason I still have you.
I'm here because you gave up your life for mine.
Which I couldn't have done without him.
I hate that he holds it over your head, that you have to do everything he says because of me.
I spun her to face me. My hands were firm on her shoulders as I held her gaze. I don't regret it. Never have and never will. I knew the price when I asked, and I would rather answer his every call like a dog on a leash than lose you.
I know. I just worry about you. What have you been doing this entire time? Where have you been?
Honestly, everywhere. Caden thinks he's getting close to finding the Book of Azrael.
What? As in the book? The one he's been looking for forever?
Yep. But at this point, I don't think it's real. I mean, how could it be if he hasn't found it already? It's ancient, to say the least, and it's not like the war happened yesterday.
I always assumed a book such as that would be locked up tight.
So, about that...
Diana?
I pulled out a pan and parchment paper. She watched as I started laying out the slices of bacon on the baking sheet. So, remember how I told you the Celestials have a sort of ranking system?
Diana, what did you do?
It's not what I did, per se, but... Alistair... She placed one hand on her hip as she brought the other hand up and rubbed her face.
Oh, gods.
I think we might have found a way into Ariel, which means we can get close to the hand, which means we will be closer to this book he thinks exists.
What if it does? What does it do?
I moved past her to grab the cup she'd set out. Honestly, I don't know. Caden says it holds the key to opening realms. He wants normalcy for us. He wants us to live in a world where we are no longer burdened by the Celestials or live in fear of the hand.
Burdened? Would people be hurt?
Gabby, you know I would never let anything happen to you.
I know that. But what about everyone else, Dee? If this book supposedly creates normalcy for him and his kind...
Our kind. I am just as much of Caden as you are.
No. I don't need blood. And I don't have to eat people for power.
The words hung between us. Gabby was right. She didn't need to feed like the rest of us, even if my diet of late was not mortal. Gabby was different. She was the closest thing to a mortal with an immortal life. I had asked Caden after he changed us why Gabby wasn't like Tobias, Alistair, or me. He said she was so close to death that the parts that made us ended up weaker in her. She would live longer, but she couldn't change into anything she wanted and didn't have the urges we did. Gabby was different, but so much better than any of us. The only power she seemed to have was a sort of empathy. That was the only way I could describe it. She could calm someone, heal them in a way. Her voice soothed, her touch brought comfort, and her presence alone seemed to make even the most irate patient quiet down. She wasn't a monster like us. No, she was an angel born out of the most brutal darkness. Gabby, there is nothing to worry about. The book doesn't exist. It's been centuries since the gods war and the fall of Rashiram. There is nothing left, no matter what Caden believes. She held my gaze for a moment, the look of concern never leaving her amber eyes.
I hope you're right, Dee. I do.
Hey, I'm the big sister, remember? I've always taken care of us, and I always will. Besides, I'm always right.
Whatever.
So... about Rick. I looked at her through the steam wafting from my cup.
Oh, gods, here we go.
I'm all for happy naked fun, but you know it's temporary, right? I mean, I'm super happy you're finally getting laid, but I don't want this to be like that puppy you adopted years ago. He lived a long, happy life and died of old age, but you still cried for almost 6 years. She turned away as the oven beeped, alerting us it was ready for whatever delicious dish Gabby was about to make for breakfast. She opened the refrigerator door and leaned over to grab a few items.
First off, I loved that dog. And second, why does it have to be temporary?
Gabby, we talked about this. If you're going to date seriously, they have to be otherworldly. Rick is mortal. He will grow old while you stay pretty and annoying forever. What will he do when he sees that you never get wrinkles or age spots? And your hair stays perfect for eternity. She opened the freezer, pulling out what looked like rolls of some sort before looking back at me.
Well, what if I asked Drake to change him?
I nearly spit out my coffee at the mention of his name. Wait, what?
I grabbed a paper towel and wiped my mouth. She moved around the kitchen, avoiding eye contact as she pulled a baking pan from the cupboard.
You would want Rick to be an otherworld creature? Gabby, that's permanent. You can't just decide to make the guy you're interested in into a vampire.
Well, I kind of want Rick to be a permanent fixture in my life. Maybe even marriage.
My shock must have shown on my face, because she started to chew on her lip, a clear sign she was nervous and unsure of my reaction. I didn't speak, because I didn't know what to say. I knew they'd been flirting for a while, but what Gabby was talking about meant she wanted him in her life forever. Since the Gods War, the rules and customs had changed. Shit, even the technology was different. Marriage wasn't a piece of paper you got that said you were bound to one another. It was beyond permanent and meant you were one in almost every sense of the word. When you married, you became true partners, the bond that of soulmates. Gabby! She placed the rolls in the oven and turned back to me. She raised her hand, cutting me off before I could go on.
Diana, I know it's sudden from your perspective, but you've been gone for months. Rick and I have gotten very close and something changed. Even before I saw him as anything more than a friend, he was there for me. He is there on the days when it's hard to get out of bed because work is exhausting. He's there on the days when I'm sad or stressed. I think I'm falling in love with him. I know it probably sounds stupid to you.
It doesn't, though a part of me was sad I'd missed out on this part of her life. I felt like an intruder at times. I would swoop in, seeing bits and pieces, but was never truly here for her. Now my sister was in love, and I'd missed her telling me about it. There had been no phone calls where she gushed about him because I hardly got to speak to her. There were no late-night movies or talks where she told me about the joys and struggles of her day because I wasn't here. If this is what you want, I am happy for you. I'm happy that someone can be here for you when I can't. I just want you to be happy. You know that. She engulfed me in a sideways hug, swaying with me.
I promise, he is great and funny, and you will love him too.
Yeah, yeah. If he breaks your heart, I'll eat his.
Okay, ew.
I'm just saying. She shook her head and rolled her eyes.
Okay, evisceration aside, do you think Drake would do it? Change him?
The corners of my mouth turned up as I gave her an innocent smile. So, funny story. My time with Gabby was the only time I felt mortal. On the first day, we stayed on the beach almost all day. Then that night, we went out for drinks before heading back to her apartment. The next day was nothing but lounging around and singing karaoke as we jumped from couch to couch. Our hair was up in lopsided ponytails, and our faces were covered in some weird face mask Gabby had spent way too much money on.
Why do you only have mint ice cream?
Why do you hate things that are delicious?
We need to go buy the 12 new flavors that came out because this is just sad.
I sat next to Gabby on the couch and handed her one. Less talking, more sharing. She opened the large throw blanket and draped it over us. I scooped a heaping spoonful of ice cream before passing her the carton and turning on the TV.
What do you want to watch? Oh, check channel 31. There was a cute movie I wanted to watch.
I turned to look at her as she shoved a spoonful of ice cream into her mouth.
Is this a romance again?
Maybe.
I shook my head and ate my ice cream. As I scrolled through the channels toward the show she wanted, I stopped when the words dancing across the bottom of the screen caught my attention.
Local officials say the tremor registered low on the scale, but caused an unusual pattern of destruction centered entirely on Ekinus's ancient temple sites.
The strange thing about this was that it wasn't even a large quake for the area. The only real damage was to the three ancient temples. Images of the ancient ruins flashed up on the screen. They were similar to others that had appeared on Anua at the end of the Gods War. My stomach sank, and I stood abruptly, nearly knocking over the coffee table. My phone. Where was my phone?
Diana? Is everything okay?
Fuck, I had to find my phone! What if Caden had called and I'd missed it? A quake in Ekinus? It was rare to say the least, and the temples couldn't be a coincidence. I pushed her bedroom door open and stopped just inside, looking around her room. Her bed was made, and the bathroom door to my left was cracked open. I spotted my phone on the dresser. I breathed out a sigh of relief and grabbed it. My heart calmed in my chest when I saw I didn't have any new messages. Okay, I hadn't missed a call, but I knew the quake wasn't just a random act of nature. I felt it in my gut. I turned and left the room. Gabby stood up and placed her ice cream on the table when I walked back in.
Everything okay?
I nodded and sat back down. Gabby curled up beside me, waiting for me to answer, her eyes filled with confusion and concern. Yes, sorry. I thought I heard my phone. Her eyes narrowed. She didn't believe me. She looked from the phone in my hand back to the TV. I picked up the remote and changed the channel. So, what was that movie you wanted to watch? Gabby didn't invite Rick over once while I was there. She wanted time with me, which I appreciated. On the days she had to work, I mostly stayed inside, raiding her cabinets for food and just relaxing. It was nice not being on call for a change, but I kept checking my phone, afraid I'd missed a call or text. The random quake had me on high alert. I knew Caden wasn't just sitting on his hands while I was away, but wondering what they were up to left me with a sense of unease. I was terrified Caden would show up and take me back. But as the days bled into a week, I grew more comfortable, less on edge. That's what Gabby did for me. She grounded me. The beast inside me never truly went away, but her proximity kept it at bay. On her next day off, we hopped in the car so Gabby could show me around. As she drove, I dangled my hand out of the open window, making waves on the wind as I watched the rippling hills pass by. The summer air held a hint of chill, telling me fall was on the horizon.
I want to take you to a couple shops. You will love them, I promise.
I nodded as she slowed, the traffic getting heavier the closer we got to downtown. The cars were all sleek and sharp. Everything was similar to that style now. It was another reminder of the creatures that had fallen from the sky centuries ago. They had changed the very fabric of our world. What do you think the world will look like in 10 years?
Huh? What do you mean?
The Celestials. They have impacted Anyua so much. I wonder how much more they will change our world.
You really hate them, don't you?
Don't you? They're the reason Mom and Dad are gone, and why our home is practically non-existent.
Dee, they didn't kill Mom and Dad. The plague did.
The plague was caused by whatever bacteria they brought down with them.
That was just a coincidence. There is no proof that was the cause. Besides, I work with a few Celestials. They're nice.
What? Gabby, you can't be friends with them. They will try to hurt you if they know what you are.
I'm not, and they don't. I have just spoken to them a few times in passing. They seem normal.
They're not normal, and they're not friends. Please tell me you will stay away. If they know what you are, or if Caden finds out...
Kill what? Kill them? Oh my gods. He would, wouldn't he?
You know he would. I rested my chin against my fist and stared out the open window. Neither of us said anything else. We parked and wandered through the market area she was obsessed with. After a few hours of buying things we didn't need, we had worked up an appetite and stopped at a small restaurant. The place was packed, but we didn't care. We asked for a table toward the back because I like to keep an eye on every exit. Call it a habit of my lifestyle, but I never liked my back exposed in any room. We laughed as we ate, and we were fighting over the last bite of dessert.
This has been nice. I've missed you.
It has. I missed you too. Now on the count of three, we open them? She grabbed for one of the crushable red and pink style candies that held the year's fortune. I knew they weren't real fortunes, but Gabby loved the mystery of what if.
You know you're going to open before three. You have no impulse control.
I have all the control. She just shook her head as she waited for my countdown. One, two, three. A big change is coming your way. Well, that's stupid. What does yours say?
Well, it didn't tell me I won a large sum of money, so that's a bummer.
A single act can change the world. Either I'm old or these fortunes don't make sense anymore.
Well, you do look like you're starting to get wrinkles, especially right here.
I crumpled my napkin and tossed it at her.
Shut up!
Not wanting to stay in that night, I convinced Gabby to go out. I told her to invite Rick, but she said he was working late. Our game plan was to hit as many places as possible before the sun rose. Gabby's ombre brown and blonde hair was curled, the waves dancing against the back of her white fitted dress. It stopped mid-thigh, and I practically had to beg her to wear it tonight. I told her that if Rick did stop by, he would love it. I even convinced her to take some sexy selfies and send them to him on the car ride to the club. My short, soft green dress had a halter top that tied around my neck, leaving my arms, shoulders, and back exposed. I had let Gabby curl my hair and pull it into a half-up, half-down style. The club had three levels, and people were packed in on every floor, dancing, laughing, and flirting. The memory of the destruction I had inflicted on Drake and his club in Tirin threatened to overwhelm me with grief. I closed my eyes tightly, trying to shut it out.
You good?
My smile was forced as I opened my eyes and nodded. I wasn't there. I was with her, and I was okay. We shuffled further inside, and I pushed thoughts of Drake aside. We danced for what felt like hours, pausing only to take a shot before going back to the dance floor. You couldn't move without bumping into someone. A large chandelier took up the ceiling from the front of the club to the back door. Colored lights danced over the crowd as everyone laughed and sang along with the music. It had been so long since I'd felt so free. I'd forgotten what it was like to just let go for a night. We danced with anyone who approached. Men or women, it didn't matter. We just had fun. After the next song, Gabby snagged me and pointed toward the back and the bathroom. A flashing neon sign signaled our target as we made our way through the crowd, bumping into people and apologizing mid-laugh like fools. But our amusement fled when we saw the line. We sighed, knowing we didn't have much choice in the matter. Gabby sagged against the wall, reaching down to massage her ankles while we waited.
I haven't done this in so long. I forgot how much my feet usually hurt in the morning. Well, except that you practically live in heels.
Yeah, but that's also because I'm a masochist. She swatted my arm.
Gross.
I'm kidding. Mostly.
I am having fun, though. We should definitely do this more often. Well, when we can.
I nodded, knowing that once I had to leave, we probably wouldn't be together again for months. The line shuffled forward, and we moved up a few paces. Gabby leaned against the wall as I rocked back and forth on my heels. Several women passed as they exited the bathroom, but only one stood out to me. I stopped rocking and stood straight, my every instinct going on alert. She was tall, and her skin was darker than mine, a deeper shade of brown. Her unbound, jet-black hair cascaded in thick curls down her back. The purple, sparkly dress she wore accentuated curves that would make any living creature take notice. She reminded me of a goddess given mortal life. The women in line stared, their comments and whispers tinting the air with jealousy.
Seriously? Like, she needs to look that perfect tonight?
Probably spent 6 hours getting ready, and that's what she came up with?
Bet she's not even real. No one looks like that naturally.
She made eye contact with me, smiling as she waved. The silver rings decorating the fingers of both her hands caught the flashing lights and seemed to glow. She continued down the hall and back into the club. My gaze followed her as she disappeared into a wave of dancing people. I turned back to Gabby, a weird sensation flushing my body. The hairs on my arms bristled, and a chill caused me to shudder. Celestial? I pushed off the wall slightly, waiting to feel that static-like tingle they gave off. But there was nothing.
She's so pretty. Unnaturally pretty. Do you want to go talk to her?
I shook my head at her and smiled, but the pit in my stomach told me something was wrong. No, I'm good. Besides, I really have to pee. We shuffled forward, the hairs on my arms still raised and alert, and my heart pounding as if a threat lingered nearby. Had Caden called and I did not answer? Was he here now? I held my hand out, Gabby, I need my phone. She reached into her small clutch and handed it to me. I checked and breathed out a silent sigh of relief. I had no missed calls or texts.
Everything okay?
I turned to stare at where the woman had disappeared into the writhing crowd of dancers. I nodded as the line moved forward again. Yeah, everything is fine. After our bathroom break, we went back to the dance floor, laughing and twirling to the next few songs. I still had an uneasy feeling creeping up my spine that I couldn't explain. It was like my brain was trying to tell me something, but I didn't have the words for it. We were mid-song when Gabby broke away and started squealing. I turned to see what had caused her excitement and saw Rick pushing through the crowd as best he could. She shifted around me and ran into his arms. Her delight in seeing him was obvious in her smile and the kisses she pressed to his face as he lifted her against him. I just smiled and gestured toward the bar, leaving them to dance while I went to get more shots. I leaned over the bar to get the bartender's attention. He did a double take and finished the drinks he was making before coming over.
Two tequila shots!
He nodded and tossed a small towel over his shoulder before turning to get the drinks. When he set them in front of me, I slammed the first one back. Not even a burn tickling my throat. I sighed and turned back toward the dance floor. I could see Gabby's smile from here as she peered up at Rick. A warm bubble wrapped around my heart. I loved seeing her happy.
Your friend looks happy.
The words caught me off guard. I was so distracted watching Gabby that I hadn't felt him approach. I turned to face the stranger, angling my body in a more defensible pose. His hair was cut close to the sides of his head in a fade, deep waves layering the top. He leaned against the bar next to me, his muscular build taking up more than his fair share of space. How long had he been there without me noticing? He was watching where Gabby and Rick had been swallowed up by the crowd, but glanced at me as he turned back toward the bar and took a sip of his drink.
Not my friend, my sister.
He smiled, the shine of his perfect teeth sending goosebumps along my arms.
Sister, my apologies.
I smiled back, focusing intently on him, all of my instincts roused and on alert. He was handsome in that bad boy kind of way. His beard was perfectly trimmed and neat. The tattoos that graced the back of his left hand and arm were etched with beautiful precision against his dark complexion. They disappeared beneath the rolled-up sleeve of his shirt and made him look even sexier and more dangerous. My eyes caught on the thick silver rings that decorated a few of his fingers. They had a strange assortment of twists and turns, solid metal seeming to glow, radiating an unfamiliar power. He wiggled his fingers.
Family heirlooms.
I met his eyes, realizing I must have been staring, and gave him a small smile.
Cool.
Something about him felt off. Wrong. The goosebumps still decorated my arms as I focused on filtering out the blaring music and smells of every mortal here. The sweat, lust, vomit, and alcohol faded. I heard the beat of his heart, the rhythm slow and steady. He smelled mortal, his scent one of cologne and a hint of citrus, but nothing otherworldly. The music came back, and his voice flooded my ears once more.
You all right?
Fine.
So, are you just here with your sister, or?
He let the words trail off, and I knew what he was implying. Normally, I would have been more than happy to indulge him. I would have been tempted had it been any other time, but I was here with Gabby, the sister I rarely got to see. I took my last shot, slamming it back before placing the empty glass on the bar in front of me. I stepped forward, and he straightened to his full height as I invaded his space. It annoyed me to discover that he was indeed taller than I. Many men could not claim the same.
Look, I get it. You have this whole bad boy thing going for you, and I'm sure plenty of women here would love for you to bend them over this very bar, but it's not going to be me. Trust me. I am actually doing you a favor, because I mean it when I say I would eat you alive.
I patted him on the arm and walked away, leaving him at the bar. I shoved through the crowd, trying to make a path toward Gabby. Rick and she were still laughing as they danced around each other. As soon as she saw my face, she stopped, causing Rick to bump into her.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm just a little tired. Give me my phone and I'll meet you back at the apartment.
I shoved past the growing crowd of newcomers and out the door, where the cool night air greeted me. People milled about on the boardwalk, laughing and joking in the pools of light created by the street lamps. I raised my phone to check for any missed calls or texts, but the screen remained clear. My unease didn't lessen as I lowered it to my side and willed my body into shadowy black mist.